Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mic Check Friday, Mic Check, and this is Gwen Berry. I'm in South Florida. Today with me is Kevin Blanche. When I get through with my little intro here and reading off a few things, Kev is going to give us an update, which we really need, on Fukushima, of which he has some expertise and has been collecting so much of the information on. So this is Friday, June 20. Are we on the 22nd? Yeah, wow. Happy solstice out there. Today we're going to talk about what's up, Occupy News, local and national. Not a lot of events right now scheduled. We're speaking truth to power and gathering headlines. Here we go with what we got. Okay, so our friends at Decolonize Oakland remind us to pay attention. What people do not understand is that the ceremonies out there that folks are doing within indigenous communities teach us how to reconnect to the land and find our personal harmony with the Earth Mother, which is very important right now. Respect for the land, the spirit of the land, and her motherhood, which is abiding in all of us, and learning how to be quiet and to allow others to walk peacefully alongside us. These are what the indigenous people are still using ceremony to align with. And there's precious little of humanity left on this planet. This helps us connect back into it. And shame on the government here for denying a lady out there. We're talking about now the Winneman Wuntu tribe. They are in Mount Shasta, and they have been trying to have the McLeod River shut down to create the a young women's coming of maturity rights ceremony at the river, there's been no response. The U.S. Forest Service currently manages the area that they wish to make use of, and traditionally have always made use of, and there's just been absolutely no response from them. This is kind of outrageous. You'd think there'd be some, even by Bureau of Indian Affairs, and there has been none. So if you can be helpful, please. The Forest Service Chief is Tom Tidwell, and the phone number that you would call to bring awareness to him that he should be taking issue with this and helping the tribe out there, the Wintus, is 202-205-8439. That's 202-205-8439. You can find a link on our website, our show page, in order to find the Winneman Wintu's website. And then I would bring your attention to local Occupy, which this week we only have the GA, but we have a training again on mortgage foreclosure and working to help restrict it and bring it back, push it away. This is 10:30 to 1:30 between at the Annex building here in Lake Worth, between Lake and Lucerne. Excuse me for that hiccup. Also, very interesting piece posted over at Occupy Wall Street. And I think we can all find some alignment here. They have posted an add yourself to the national do not kill list. There is a do not kill list going up in response to the establishment of the national kill list and the expansion of the United States Predator Drone Program. The National Agency for Ethical Drone-Human Interactions has launched this Do Not Kill Registry. I registered myself. I thought, well, it couldn't hurt, could it? Adding your name to the registry will assist us in avoiding accidental casualties in our mission to make the world a safe place for democracy and free enterprise. It is ironic, it is irony, but still, it brings up awareness to just how ridiculous, well, how outrageous, how very outrageous it is. So, from Occupy Wall Street, we have that. Also, we have, yesterday there was a National Day of Action against PNC. Now, if you check your local pages and you keep current with the meetup emails, you know that the majority of the localized Occupy events or actions taking place have everything to do with either issues with banking or foreclosure. So please, don't forget, we're still out there doing it, and this is how we're doing it to it. Now, before we get to Fukushima, and Kev, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks for being with me today. Really appreciate you being patient in that stumble through intro there. We have 10 Corporate Bastards of the Year in 2012 so far, and there's actually a posted list. They're kind of a list of the most wanted corporate criminals, and it gives you information about that. I've posted this on the show page, and all of these are listed there, and it tells you about who's responsible. It provides links to taking action against them. And the list, I thought, would be really great to go over, and you can tell me what yours is, what I've left off or what they have left off here. The list was put together by a bunch of lefty journalists, basically. But the number one villain here is Bank of America for funding of environmentally harmful coal industry, excessive campaign contribution and contributions, and for throwing people from their homes with foreclosures.
Not to mention freaking robbing the United States Treasury blind.
Oh, that would be, yeah, an excellent add-on there. Number two is actually Chevron for damaging ecosystems and people in Ecuador. Repression of protests to oil extractions and the Brazil spill. I was unaware. I had to look it up. I did not know about that. Shame on me as an environmental enthusiast. Were you aware?
Yes. Yeah, it's horrible. And I have a bunch of people from Brazil who stay posting with me regular on my YouTube site. And, you know, they've kept me aware of what's going on in South America, which, you know, so many people think, oh, we can run to South America to get away from this poison. Oh, really? I don't think so.
No. Yeah, it's lousy just about every shoreline that you want to hit, because there's so much, there's so many
there's
oil.
There's a big Japanese population that live in Brazil. A lot of people don't know that. A lot
wow.
of Japanese, that migration for a lot of years. And so there's a lot of people that are very connected with TEPCO and the combination of Brazil together. Some of the really strong advocates in the world, they're living right there in Brazil.
Wow.
So jeez. I hear from them often.
Well, number three is Century International Arms for producing the Romanian AKs, which are frequently smuggled into Mexico, and we know what for. They're supplying the cartels, the drug cartels in Mexico, which have far exceeded anything out of Colombia. This is just, it's horrifying what's going on in Mexico. It really is horrifying.
It is.
There is in many, not completely through Mexico, but I mean even Mexico City, there are many pockets of Mexico where there is no law and order at all. It's just the cartels. And if you sneeze wrong, there's the threat of beheadings. There's the threat of your family being killed. I mean, it's just horrible.
That's beyond threat. They do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Number four is Halliburton for hydraulic fracturing and their involvement in the Gulf oil spill and the bribery in Nigeria. I think that's just the top of it, but it'll...
Somebody's got to pay for Dick's new heart.
Uh-huh, yeah, well, what's it made out of? Titanium.
Well, surely ain't human.
Number five is the Hershey Company, and this kind of took me back a little, for refusing to use fair trade labor and continuing to support labor that violates human rights standards. Now, I thought they had come around on that, but apparently no, not one bit. So the Hershey Company, people, you got to boycott these companies. You can't give them business. Number six is Monsanto for the promotion of monocropping, involvement in government, and refusing to label product, bankrupting small farms globally, the GMO, the destruction of our ability to, you know, rotate crops naturally. You can go on and on with Monsanto. Number seven is the company Pacific Rim for their mining in El Salvador. I have no idea. I had no time to do the due diligence on that one. Are you aware of it, what it is?
Yes, their mining methods, as we have this spike up in gold, this fallacy island, hoard metals. These guys are doing all kinds of, any kind of, you know, backdoor strip mining, illegal mining operations whatsoever to extract, you know, any metal from the earth, and you're using slaves to do it.
Jeez. Oh, man. Okay. Making sense. Number eight is TransCanada for plans to construct the Keystone XL pipeline. We had Julia Trigg Crawford on Sunday's show, who is fighting the who is fighting TransCanada via eminent domain on her land in Texas, her family ranch, for our family farm. For, you know, here they haven't even been approved yet, apparently, on one side. On the other side, they're able to, have people's homes condemned or land condemned so that they can use eminent domain to lay pipe beneath their water resources. It's absolutely outrageous. And this is going to, the shale oil, the way they get the bitumen for it, requires for every I don't know, is it a pound of the bitumen, it's 3 barrels of clean water are used.
Wow.
Is that the ratio? Are you aware?
Wow. I didn't realize it was that high.
And of course water is the next, you know, huge, it's taking over oil as the big commodity.
Always has been here. We have water wars from hell here, half from years.
That's true, especially in places like Texas. Number nine is Veolia, for operations in Israel, high prices and bad service and privatization of water. And number 10 is Walmart for unfair treatment of employees, use of sweatshop labor, bribery in Mexico, cultural abuse. We could go on and on with it. But these companies, these 10 companies, are the heavy hitters on the conscious business community list.
I have my list that I go off on, my crimes against humanity list, of course. But I have two separate lists that I go off, and Walmart is king number one, always has been with me. They're the top of the heap.
Yes.
You know, with me, and then I've got Apple on the list now, you know, right behind him. I call him Steve Chinese Jobs.
Yeah. It was hard for me. I admit, I just invested in new equipment for my business, and I was sitting and looking at what was available to me, and I went with the Apple.
Yeah.
It's an elegant machine. It's built to last. whereas most of the other machines are that are, you know, a lot of them are built in China, too.
Well, the only way you can buy American now, and I do buy American. In fact, we just had this conversation. I go into my vlog about it a lot.
Uh-huh.
You have to buy retro. That's the only way. So anything that's come along since 1984, you couldn't buy American if you wanted to.
Well, and
there is nothing made American.
And that as doing business online and what I do here online, everything that I'm about as far as my communications and making my living, I require the up-to-speed programs that enable my beautiful
you're handed tight. You have to.
My beautiful PowerBook, which is like about 7 years old now, 6 years old, has become my workhorse, but because for printing and stuff, because I simply can't use it any longer. It's way too slow.
Yeah.
It won't access the. I totally agree with you, though. Apple has a lot to answer for. It needs to turn it around. And they know that they need to turn it around. There's been a lot.
Well, the famous story goes, and Obama and Steve Jobs met face-to-face, toe-to-toe, and the story went like this, and it's a factual story.
Uh-huh.
Obama asked him what his perception was of bringing the jobs back to the United States. He knew Apple's one of the major employers in the world. And Steve Jobs told him, in no nice terms, they left and they're never coming back. And so I always use the line, the only thing that left and is never coming back is Steve Chinese Jobs. Oh, they're going to come back because the young occupiers, they know. They'll take this, you know, they'll wait till all us dumbass baby boomers who ruined the world are dead and gone. But it will be a progressive America, a major progressive America, like it was before when these occupiers and this young generation takes over. They're so sick and tired of us ignorant, dumbass baby boomers.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be a progressive, and they'll make their own. Mark my words.
Well,
you know, we'll probably all be dead and gone, but
I have
they
seen
will.
Amazing things. I had a young grad student who was my roommate for a long while, and bought one of those little tiny computers that's just barely, you know, it just holds memory and you program them. And I do believe they're made in Europe. And she used Linux to program it. And, I mean, these kids, that's how these little tiny, like it's about the size of what now is an iPad, but it's actually a little laptop. And they put their own programming language into it using, you know, off the net for free. All of it is shareware.
Well, and when you impoverish a people and you hammer them down and give them no opportunity and no chance whatsoever, they're going to kick out a byproduct.
Oh, yeah.
They are, and it's called Find Stuff Free. Find it free. Network. And they're doing it. And that's what's going to take these corporations apart. Because they have just kind of waved them to the buy side. That's baby boomer ignorant masses. We're getting older. We're going broke. And we're not going to supply this, you know, fairy fantasy island of a service-based economy, which is nothing but the biggest fairy tale lie of, you know, the 30 years.
Yeah.
There's a byproduct. And, you know, you want to impoverish them? They're like, okay, you know, F you. Watch this, assholes. And that's what they're doing.
That's true. Okay, I got to ask you, we were having a little conversation, Kev, your vlog, your videos have given some of the most illumination on, if I can use that term, on Fukushima and what's going on over there that I've been able to find anywhere. And I use that information. I think I nearly gave my business partner's mother a heart attack yesterday. In describing to her what I had just listened to you on your video about how far it's gone in Fukushima. And, of course, she has no idea. She has no idea of much.
No.
She was surprised to know some of the things about Obama. But we were speaking just prior to coming online, and I was saying I have heard stories about the industry, the flying industry in Japan, the personnel there coming up with radiation burns and even losing hair. And you said...
It's happening. It's a fact. It's happening.
Please talk about this. People need to know. This needs to be drumlined out there. I know you're doing your job on your end. Let's get it out on this end.
Well, first off, I'd like to tell everybody that listens to your show and you, you know, I've been fighting for my life since October 13th. I was in critical condition for 4 months going through this, and I want to thank everybody who said prayers for me, everybody who's tied in with Mother Earth and who did all the, you know, all the work and got these good vibes flowing to me and got me in tune with Mother Earth. And, you know, I really believe that's what saved my life. I really do believe it. And, I you know, everybody that did that for me, I love them so much. You know, what I went through and where I've been has been so unbelievable and so hardcore. I've been in that unit fighting for my life since October 13th. And it's been a nightmare. As, you know, I've been a strong anti-nuclear advocate my whole life. And then my father was an atomic veteran, you know, and he was nuked to death in the Nevada test site. And, you know, I've incorporated this and ran it in RAID. My YouTube site's only a couple years old, but I've been strong advocate on this long, long before I filed lawsuits. The videos you watch of the atomic veterans and wherever them are, I'm responsible for all that being released. I filed lawsuits. I fought with politicians for years. I've been a hardcore advocate even when I had my Wall Street career and my teaching career. I mean, this has been my genre. And then I rant and rave about it. It gives us leukemia later. And then I get it. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I guess you're going to be the modern-day Rachel Carson. And I'm like, oh, no. God bless that great woman. But
right.
You know, I said, I'm going to live through this.
You are living through it. You're living through it very well, too. You're a beacon to many people, Kev.
Yeah, I hope, you know, and like I said in my video, when I come out of the hospital the other day and they had the party and the celebration for me, I had 248 days of chemo and radiation in my body. And as I come out of there, and like I said, I can't deny this path. I mean, I can go back into my many different careers and genres that I've explored in my life, but I have to stay the advocate. I have to. This is my calling, you know, in the name of my father. You know,
yay.
I have to respect his death. I have to respect what happened to me and all those people that I got so close with in that hospital and watched them die. I can't turn my back. No way. I mean, I'd have to be some kind of inhuman.
I'm glad to hear it. I know many people are. We need you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do. And as soon as this pick line comes out of my chest, which is going to come out on July the 2nd, I'm going to take this show on the road. I've got a lot of different stuff organized and to go. And I am filing lawsuits against these people. I have been going after the NRC, the IEA. And I like to quote Utah himself's quote, these people have names and addresses. You know, and I've been calling them out individually. I call the journalists who... you know, who with malice downplayed this out. Look, this thing as Fukushima goes, we are so incorporated in the United States thinking everything runs in a media cycle.
Yeah.
We have been so branded into that media cycle that everybody keeps going there with Fukushima. This will be the thing that totally breaks down any media cycle because it's just going to grow and grow and grow because it's not going away. It's never going away. And
yeah.
No one will do anything about it. We're going on 500 days, and it's still spewing into the Pacific. It is, as I said from day one, this is Chernobyl on Balco, and it is. This story is getting big, and I think one of the big things that's happening right now as we speak, in Japan, that obedient society, people don't realize how obedient that society is. For people to protest over there is very different than protesting here. For people to go to prosecutors and request criminal prosecution is not like here. For people to do that is a very, very big deal because if you accuse over there and push the protest over there and you falsely do that, they can jail you and they will jail you. These people are coming forward. Protesting is nothing, is a very new thing in that society. And, well, it's not even a new thing. It's a taboo. They are protesting. These execs at TEPCO, I tell everybody this, you mark my words, they're going to go to jail over there. This isn't the United States, and it's going to set a precedent around the world. It's going to, I think there's really going to be an awakening when you see these guys start to go to jail or commit hara-kiri, because that's what they do over there. And it's going to happen. And it's in the works right now. Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm listening.
Well, Well, I think people need to – I listened to this two Fridays ago. When I went to the number one undergraduate program in the United States, finance school when I was young.
Yeah.
Anyway, half the students were Japanese. They're brilliant people, so many of them. And I've stayed close with them. And, you know, two of them live in Hong Kong, one of them lives in Tokyo. I communicate back and forth with them a lot, almost on a daily basis. They emailed me two Fridays ago and said, the hearings are going on over there. They're going to grill the TEPCO CEO. And so I listened to it. And they have the prime minister over there has come point blank out and said that TEPCO's executives lied to him. They lied to him and told him that we have no plan. We're going to throw up our hands and just walk away. By law, they have to have a plan. The IAEA, by law, has to have. That's why this is so criminal. And they didn't have a plan. Well, now he's come back and say, you lied. He's saying, no, no, you're the liar. To call the prime minister in that society over there a liar is a mega, mega, major deal. So
yeah.
He is fired up. It's the biggest insult in the world in that culture. You got him mad. The former prime minister has come out and apologized publicly to the people of Japan, which is a very, very big deal. To admit you're wrong and apologize in Japanese culture is a major, major deal. He's
yeah.
done it. You know, those things are – nuclear power's done over there. You know, there's this debate. We might turn one on for a little bit here and there. Maybe, you know, one or two of them for a few minutes. It's over.
Well,
that
Kevin,
culture is so outraged.
Kevin, what have they begun to do to you know, the Russians buried it. They stuck tons of cement on it. What
about sand? They use sand. You know, you want to watch something, your viewers out there. This the downplaying of Chernobyl is so grotesque. How it was downplayed by the AAA and the Nat World Media. You watch the Battle of Chernobyl documentary. 50,000 men went in there and tombed it in sand. 20,000 of them are already dead. The other 30,000 are all but dead. Gorbachev's wife died of exactly what I have, leukemia. It killed millions and millions, and that was at day 87. Gorbachev went in there and tombed it. And they're going to build a dome over it. And as Gorbachev says himself, we didn't know we'd go broke. One guy is funding the dome over there, an individual private citizen. But it was entombed with sand by 50,000 men. Those 50,000 men, and they knew they were going to die. They sacrificed their life to entomb it. And the 20,000 that are already dead, the other 30,000 are dying and sick. And there are literally tens of thousands of deaths a year from Chernobyl. That's what outrages me so much about Sanjay Gupta and CNN. They put
yeah.
that Jim Walsh. Oh, that outrages me so hardcore when he did that little documentary 2 weeks ago. He should go to jail for that. That was done with malice. That is criminal.
Talk about that. Tell the audience what Gupta did.
Well, when Fukushima happened, everybody says, how did you know? And I went on my tirade on my vlog, because my vlog started out as nothing but my PhD study, which is called Post-Ignorance, which I was trying to document and prove my socioeconomic study, why the American populace is so poorly educated and so plain freaking uneducated. And I was going through that. My vlog was using strong language versus not strong language and, you know, tracking the shit. Well, I went crazy that day, and everybody's like, how did you know? I've been waiting for it to happen for years because I've been so involved in the nuclear industry and what a house of cards it has been waiting. I knew that thing couldn't handle that. I knew the design. I knew it couldn't happen. Well, as it plays out, the media is all over it. CNN goes over there. Well, the wind is blowing out when it happened over the Pacific. I knew it was in a full court meltdown. I kept saying that. People like Arne Gunderson and all the IAEA were coming right into my vlog, coming in there and telling me I didn't know a hydrogen blast or a nuclear blast. And I'm like, you're crazy. You know, and I fought with everybody. Says I'm crazy. They had guys doing videos of me with tin hats on saying, oh, this guy's a radical crazy. So I followed along the news. You know, I'm trying to get anywhere I can. Well, CNN I thought was doing the best because Gupta and Anderson Cooper were over there.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as the wind shifted back over them and they knew it was going to shift, they got out, went back to Tokyo, and flew home. When they were in Haiti for months, when they were in Phuket for months, they knew. So they put Gupta up on there, and he has his Saturday morning show that millions watch, his health show. This is the man that was going to be the Surgeon General. He has incredible credibility in this country. People loved him. I loved him until then. I thought he did such a great job. He comes on, that's 2 weeks, March 25th. And he does his Saturday morning health show. first he puts a Japanese woman doctor, which you can find it. It's still online. It's out there. Miss Milky Clowns has dug in and found that for me. We've posted it everywhere. And he puts this one, you know, she's basically saying, oh, a little bit of radiation's good for you, blah, 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 which, you know, that was bad enough. But then the second segment, he goes in, he finds this freelance journalist punk, some just fat doughboy kid with no expertise in anything. He says, in 1986, I was laying in my bed, and I was sick, watching TV, watching Chernobyl. Well, here a couple years ago, I thought, I want to go over there just to see, you know. He says, I thought I'd see people with three eyes. And I went over there, and he says, there's nothing going on over there. Everybody's perfectly happy. And this was right when I was reporting that they're pushing the plutonium into the Pacific. And I'm arguing with Gunderson and everybody. I says, it doesn't matter if it goes in the atmosphere or the Pacific. It is a full core meltdown, and they're pushing the plutonium into the Pacific. Well, and they're arguing with me. He shows two guys fishing at Lake Chernobyl. Well, as we all know, Lake Chernobyl has been nothing spawned in there in 25 years. The Chernobyl area is a ghost town. The wolves have taken it over. The whole Ukraine area. It's a massive, massive, surreal ghost town over there. For him to do that piece of journalism, it, you know, is done with pure malice. It's illegal. It's a crime. And so I've called him out on it. You know, and same with, I call Ann Calder, that dude did the same thing. The same thing. You know, radiation's, you know, and it wasn't just failed to report. These are crimes. The IAEA, the NRC, they have committed crimes. International law calls it out specifically. They have to have a plan. And, you know, they're coming out and saying, well, how can we have a plan for a 9.0 earthquake or a tsunami of that level? And I says, well, that's what we've said for 40 years. There's the fallacy of nuclear power. You can't have a plan for it. And you, but by law, you have to have a plan. And now they're saying, well, it was just bigger than we thought. Oh, bullshit. You telling me that there's never been a 9.0 earthquake in Japan in the history of the country? There's been hundreds. They've never had a tsunami that big? I'm like, oh, really? What about the one in Phuket just a few years earlier?
That's,
you know,
right.
So it's purely lies. The whole nuclear industry has been built up on a house of cards, and the IAEA is nothing but their cheerleaders, and the NRC is nothing but their cheerleaders, and they have been masters. It is the iconic thumbprint of the Occupy movement. It has everything to do with the – and if your listeners out there don't know who Tim DeChristopher is,
we know who Tim DeChristopher is.
Okay. You want to talk about an iconic, monumental thing that will be – written about for 100 years, him going to prison and BP and the TEPCO people and the corporate media pulling this scam off on us. It is the iconic moment.
Yeah.
These people need to go to jail. These are crimes against humanity. They're broken law in U.S. law and international law. The IAEA has broke the law grotesquely and dramatically.
Yes.
Like, worse than Dick Cheney, you know, or Karl Rove. It is, you know, this fantasy island country that we live in that is all perpetrated on lies, 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 lies.
Absolutely.
This TEPCO thing is the iconic thumbprint, because you cannot hide. If you lose all your money, a bank goes broke, or, you know, you got some gold and gold collapses, or, you know, you got whatever, you still have your body and you still have the air. But with TEPCO, there's no hiding. It, you know, as I like to say, the jet stream and the ocean currents, they know no flags, they know no borders, they know no cultures. It does not matter. It is all Mother Earth, and as it coats Mother Earth and poisons Mother Earth, she fights back as we fight back. But, you know, it's going to give you cancer.
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, what gets people's attention, what turned somebody's head around yesterday was when I mentioned that, you know, Japanese, the airline industry, the employees are showing, you know, radiation burns and losing hair. And you can find this online. And they're like looking at me like, you're kidding me. What do you mean?
You know, three months ago, I got an email from a stewardess. She emailed me. I get a lot of anonymous emails. You would not believe. You want to talk about people that ask me not to. And I get producers of major television networks that come to me. Some of these major shows, and they say, keep it anonymous, and I do keep it anonymous. I got one from a stewardess who said her hair started falling out, and she had burns on her arms 3, maybe 4 months ago. And I didn't know. And then I dug into it, and I'm like, there's stuff posted all over online. And, you know, there's some pretty good journalists that are reporting it that have gone in and interviewed some of these people. I'm hoping some of them can, you know, display some of it on YouTube. I've asked them to.
Well, Kevin, what about the cesium that's traveling in the ocean in the Pacific?
Well, here's the thing with cesium, and people make the mistake about cesium. We have cesium-137, we have cesium-134. Okay, there is a natural phenomena of cesium-137. Nature can produce cesium-137 in a natural phenomenon, but it's at such a minute, low level. Cesium-134 is man-made, totally 100% man-made. It is showing up in droves as the first report as I put out was I've been waiting for these reports, and as soon as they get out, people come right to me. And I have people that are sending them to me immediately because they know I'll get them out. The Massachusetts Institute of Oceanography did the very first one, and they had their boys 4,000 to 6,000 miles out. And this came out, in March. And they were finding, as verbatim is what they said, they were finding pockets of cesium-134 and cesium-137 thousands of times normal accumulation. That was the first study. Now, of course, we see the studies coming out. I love this study that came out on the bluefish tuna, the yellowfin tuna from California. You know when that study was concluded? Last August. Why is it being released in March? It really pisses me off that these assholes hide that study and tell, 9 months later, we'll go ahead and release it so people don't rattle. That study was concluded last August. How much worse is it from that study? Well, think about it.
Yeah.
You've had nearly 500 days. The cesium has been pushing into the Pacific every single day. Again, Chernobyl, 87 days was entombed, and it was a plume that went up. Is there any difference from a plume into the air or the water? No difference. It enters the food chain. Did it help the people of Japan by pushing it out of the water? Yes. Did it hurt the people of the west coast of the United States and the Rio? Yes, massively.
Wow.
It was a redistribution of the toxic chemicals from the air to the ocean. So instead of the jet stream, it's into the ocean currents. And the studies are just starting to come out now because it's hard to study, those big boys. And not to mention, a lot of people don't realize the difference between fission and fusion. Nuclear fusion is a natural phenomenon. Nuclear fission is China syndrome.
Yes.
China syndrome came about, that word came about from the movie, after Three Mile Island, and the reason they hypothesized that it would burn all the way through China, thus the word. But it really, China syndrome is just a popularized contemporary word via popular culture for nuclear fission, F-I-S-S, which is when these chemicals in a nuclear core, the uranium, gets into a meltdown and there's no water cooling off it, they start to bleed together. When they bleed together, they start to compound, and the atom destroys, and uranium, the neutron, busts loose, and it creates gamma rays of epic, monumental proportions that no one has seen in the history of the world. It is science fiction land. Nuclear fission has been going on in three cores since the day it happened, and six spent fuel rod pools since it happened. The amounts that have been pushed into the, and there was never no bladder system put around it. My biggest line I like to use is from the Battle of Chernobyl, as she says in that interview. She says, the worst thing to come out of Chernobyl was not cesium, was not plutonium, it was lies.
Yeah.
Boy, was she ahead of her time, because the lies of Chernobyl have set the table for the lies of Fukushima. And Fukushima is Chernobyl on Balco, as I like to say. It is thousands of times what Chernobyl ever dreamed of being. And it's going to kill millions and millions of people. And that's not fear-mongering. And that's not science fiction, fairy tale idealism out there. People can fear-monger about money and gold and all this. This is real. This is very, very real. I was in that leukemia center up there for that whole time. AML leukemia, like I get, is a catastrophic, evil, horrible disease. The only known causes of it are, 1, exposure to radiation, 2, exposure to benzene. Young people don't get it in their 20s. That hospital is chock full of 20-year-olds dying. Doctors, you're talking some of the world-class doctors in the world in that unit. They'll tell you right to your face, this is an epidemic happening right here, right now.
What
it's
do
accumulative.
They have blame for it? What do the doctors,
nuclear,
you know?
The
I
doctors
know.
All know. They know. They'll tell you straight up. look, we had no really in any amount until World War II. You know, the Manhattan Project, you know, the bikini bombs. You know, Madame Curie got into it. It existed, you know, whatever. But we really didn't have any. You know, we have started poisoning this earth so dramatically, even with benzene from the 30s on. But the environmental poison, it is a cumulative. Plutonium's half-life is 25,000 years. Cesium-134, 137, 25,000 years. So it is accumulating, and it's like the epidemic of southern Utah. I tell people, if you knew the truth of southern Utah, you knew the truth of Oklahoma, if you knew the truth of Colorado, that whole region, no one would live there. Because as the open-air tests in Nevada, 300 of them blew, which my father was a human guinea pig who was taken right in the trenches and murdered by, you know, these wrap-yourself Eugene McCarthy radicals.
Yeah.
It is accumulative. So it slowly builds up in the atmosphere. We all have Nevada test site in us, every single person on Earth. We all have Chernobyl in us, every single people on Earth.
Right.
Now Fukushima, as it builds up, it starts to push people over the edge. Their bodies cannot take anymore, and they get cancer.
Let me ask you, Kevin, from your own reasonable deduction, how many generations are we talking before humanity is actually reduced to, and really?
Well, it's like this, and I say this all the time because I, you know, people say that it will wipe out humanity. It's not going to wipe out humanity because medical science is so much better at treating this. That's our only hope. And the human body, can it adapt to radiation? That is the big argument that goes back. Most scientists say, no, it cannot. But what it does do, this is what's so evil about it. People think, oh, radiation burns three eyeballs. Oh, no, it's not that romantic. As Einstein said, as Sokolov said, as Oppenheimer all said, which they all were hardcore nuclear anti, and these are the guys dropping the bombs, the Tsar bomb, the Manhattan Project, you know, the Hiroshima bombs. Every one of them said, we will pay the price two or three generations removed. Because what happens, it builds up in you, and then you get leukemia 20 years later, 30 years later. The Japan science is all out there. The southern wind, you know, the downwinders of southern Utah and us Utahns, the science is all here. The guy who stepped in and saved my life, Dr. Hansen, as they had me misdiagnosed, if it wasn't for him, I'd be dead right now. Because my leukemia formed in tumors, and they were ready to gut me. And I was critical. I lost 33% of my body mass in 3 weeks.
Jeez.
And they had me misdiagnosed. I was dying right there then. He stepped in. He grew up in southern Utah. And the hallmark is thyroid cancer. We are the thyroid cancer capital of the world on the Wasatch. We always have been here in Utah because of the open air tests. That's where it shows up first, which is curable now. Science has cured it, but his father and his brother died. He's a brilliant old oncologist who he hypothesized, he's like, Kevin, you're a Utahn, we're all downwinders here. I think it might be an extremely rare form of leukemia that formed in tumors, which only happens one in maybe 2,000 or 3,000 cases.
Wow.
And he was right. If it wasn't for him, I'd be dead there. I was ready to go on the table the next day. And Dr. Peterson down there says, if they would have gutted you, you would have been dead in 48 hours.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've been down, not this path, but I've been down the path of radiation medicine and tumors and cancer and leukemia too, but not the kind of leukemia you're talking.
There's people get confused, chronic and acute,
yes.
Very different diseases.
Yes. The thing is that cancer is laying as a seed in each of us waiting to either to be, you know, holistically
turned off or turned on.
Yeah, off or turned on. You're right. What I do though want to bring up to the surface here is also what would you say to people right now about, you know, doing the positive? What can we do positively besides?
Yes, and there's plenty of things that can do positive. Number one, just what you do. Being spiritual with Mother Earth, tying into Mother Earth, the birds and everything. I think that is so, so important on the human mind. I think it is so, as we stay positive and we stay in love with Mother Earth and we get more in touch back with the environment, I think it is the power of the human mind, I think, will fight off cancer if you let it fight off cancer. He will fight off this evil. I believe that. I believe that more than I've ever believed it after what I've been through. Food, the food chain, obviously. You know, there's a great, great book by an incredible oncologist named Mitchell Gaynor, who's the, you know, was the Cornell Fellow. You know, he's really, really famous. He's a great, great old oncologist in New York. And he wrote a book called Nurture, Nature, Nurture. And he breaks down, he says, you know, you better start living like you have cancer now. And he, you know, talks about what foods. He talks about music therapy. He talks about happiness. He talks about being in tune with more of the earth. And he talks about what to eat. And, you know, and he talks about, you know, how you can be tricked by organic versus not organic, you know, and the soils and the water. But I think
actually,
people
don't recognize the absolute healing that, and it's easy to come to an awareness of the absolute healing of just adjusting your attitude when you basically, and what we're talking about is everything that you can do to adjust your attitude. We already know it lowers blood pressure. It can cure heart disease. Being on the right side of yourself, let alone the right side of humanity, is an overall curative. There are people.
It means everything.
So anchored in that old Newtonian mechanistic way of looking at the world, their bodies, and their lives. This is what has destroyed us, and we've come to this point, I think, in that karmic sense, so that we might look and see just what you've discovered, that we're actually Einsteinian, what we call energy medicine or Einsteinian model of healing, which it sounds like your oncologist has tapped into also.
Well, I'm just lucky because these guys quit the Huntsman. They quit other things. You know, and when my uncle's a really famous neurosurgeon, he's wrote books, whatever. He got involved, and I was dying. And it's just lucky that they found the old LDS hospital. They're ready to tear it down. These people were looking for a place to start this. It's only 5 years old. It's as cutting edge as they get, and they really tap into these things. They don't just use chemo and radiation. They use this. So does Gaynor, you know, Mitchell Gaynor, the Einstein method of, you know, energy and healing.
Yeah.
They really
are
in tune with it. And they're the number one survival rate of AML in the world right now. It's right here in my backyard. So I got incredibly lucky that way.
Well, they're actually building cancer centers. And you can see some of them on television being, you know, hyped. But they've been building cancer centers to address not just the what we, from my point of view, would call the allopathic health care, but also the subtle health care, which is that energetic standard, the quality of life that you should.
They finally woke up. They have finally woken up, you know, because they've had it in their families.
California, New York, and Florida, you'll find these schools. And they also bring out, I hope you're getting yourself some acupuncture too, buddy.
Well, they'd spare nothing with me here. You know, there's two people right now that have this rare form that I have down there. They've only had three in the last 20 years in this entire state. So both of us are embedded in the national journals, and we have the entire cancer societies that are tracking our cases. So they're sparing no cost on either one of us. By the way, she's 33, and she is on her third born. She's dying, and it's horrible, and it's heartbreaking. It's the most heartbreaking thing I've ever had to deal with in my life is getting to know people, you know, people and watching them fight their ass off and die. This is, make no mistake about it. Nuclear fallout, when it kills you, when it attacks you and decides to kill you with leukemia, AML, acute, this death, this fight, this war is one horrific, horrific, horrific battle that I think nobody knows. It is of epic, epic proportion. It is brutal. They go into your spine once a week and inject chemo into, they do a lumbar puncture once a week. They go into your brain stem, puncture into there. You fade away. These cancer cells aren't just eating you away. They're painful. They get up behind your eyes. They get around your lung. They're evil little monsters. They take away your appetite. They destroy your entire body. They take away your sex. They're evil little monsters, and it is a horrific, horrific death. You know, you just go in there and just think, oh, I got this. It's over. And if you don't learn how to fight, that's another thing. People give me so much shit about my vlog for being so angry, and I call it the poetry of anger. I'm telling you right now, if you get one of these cancers like this and you don't know how to get angry and you don't know how to fight, you're going to die. And I watched it in my face. It is. I always thought that bullshit about fighting. I thought, well, we all fight. Oh, no. You really have to dig down.
Yes, I've seen it. When people are fighting for their lives, the metal testing comes up, and you find out you're made a warrior or not. You basically have it or you don't when it comes to that.
And then, you know, your body, too. That's another thing, too, to take care of your body, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it at some point in your life. You're going to need all that physical strength. I've seen people who fight their asses off, who are so mentally warriors, but their body just finally gives up on it because it wasn't fit when they went in. So, you know, it's true when all you guys said, and I've heard you said, I've heard Radchick said, I've heard Miss Milky Klein, I've seen all these beautiful, great, you know, environmentalists and people trying to get this word out, all say it. You know, get yourself in shape, get your physically for when you have it so you can fight.
Well,
so many people are going to get it.
It's quite true. And you, the power of just thought and consciousness and how we hold our consciousness is extraordinarily important. One of the guys in the chat room today while we've been speaking basically was, you know, saying being a hippie doesn't heal cancer. And I got to tell him, you know, you should tell that to all of the cure ratios from people who've chosen a holistic route.
Well, let me tell you something. I tell them, you know, you can have the hippies, but I'll go straight to the beatniks. You know, as soon as I got out of the hospital right where I live, I went up the backside of Ben Lomond, and I have two really close friends that are old San Francisco beatniks who are incredible, wonderful people who live in this beautiful place where I live, and they stayed right by my side the whole time. They said, you know, everything, that's the first people I went to see. And like I said, they ain't no hippies, they're beatniks. And I'll tell you what, it's a combination. It's a combination. You need all that spirituality, and you need good doctors, and you need good medicine.
You
know what you're going to say? You got to have it all.
It's quite true. It's quite true. And the one person who taught me that was one of my teachers. He was a medicine man, and he could smudge me. He could sage my body. I would feel the shift of energy. I would lose the cold because he would cleanse my auric field with his medicine.
There's so much to be said about it.
And
you know, right there were, I was in the hospital.
Tell me, you know, you have to take care of your body, and you have to pay attention to it, because your body is what our bodies tell us. That, you know, when Katrina was going on, I was in Western Massachusetts at a retreat away from people, unconnected to any technology, and my back went out. It went completely out. I couldn't walk for a day. My teacher had taken me out several times to collect feathers, whatever we were doing, he told me. You know, when the Earth Mother is in trouble, your body will tell you, because you will feel somehow, and every human does.
I think it's so true. I think if you're connected and you let yourself, you know, in June, I was giving a lecture, you know, as I was finishing up my PhD and I was starting an interview. And, you know, I did my things at Washington Square in New York, and I was doing a lecture. I was over at NYU, and then I was at UCLA. And I remember in June I was doing a lecture, a finance lecture, on, you know, high dividend yield stocks versus gold, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I told the dean after, and this is in June, I said, something's not right with me. And he says, what do you mean? I says, I have a really bad vibe. He says, are you sick? I said, I don't have any pain anywhere. My body feels great. Whatever. I says, something is bothering me big time. I just have this horrible vibe, and I was really nervous. I think that's when the cancer was starting to show up.
We do know. I think you're right. You're absolutely dead on. I do think we know when something's wrong. I get what I call the heart clutch. If something's wrong, my heart clutches. If I'm just being paranoid, I can walk around being a worry ward for weeks, but it's still not.
Yeah, we can all do that.
We are down to the end of the show, Kev. I want to thank you so much for bringing this update and bringing these topics up for discussion.
Okay. One last thing I want to say this real quick before I head out. I'd say, speaking of Vive, the last few weeks I have had the best vibe about what's happening in the world with Occupy. I've really got this 1930s, 60s, really peaceful, happy vibe going inside me. I expect things to get so much better in our world. I've had the happiest vibe
good
I've had in my whole life.
It's good to hear. It's very good to hear. In fact, after tomorrow, I think, just astronomically, the influences get a lot better. So,
hope, I'm glad to hear that.
And a bright light. I had a couple of gals on the show last night who are traveling the land and documenting unique individual women who are women of self-empowered means. And these ladies just were one bright light of young energy that's just trust and do it kind of energy. And I have to say, with that kind of stuff popping up, you can't help but realize there
is... Well, isn't it amazing that all the activists out there, you know, for the most part, when it comes to Fukushima, the people that are getting angry and really going after it, isn't it something that almost all of them are girls?
A lot of them are, yes, sir. Yes,
a vast majority are female. The really passionate, you know, they get angry like me and rant and rave and carry on, that want to fight and throw down and get in these assholes' face, which I'm all for that. I'm tired of the soft. You can drink your latte and eat your drive your Prius all you want. I'm, like I said, I look like a monkey and I act like one too.
Well,
that's an reference to Edward Abbey.
I have to take my hat off to all of the, like, our good friend Oso. He's in the chat room listening to us now. And he agrees with you. Women are the badasses, and so is Kevin.
Yeah,
so,
and everybody needs to quit being pussies, and let's stand up, and let's go toe-to-toe with these guys. These guys want to fight. I tell everybody right now, they want to fight, let's fight. You know, you want to have the heavy action? Bring it on. Bring it on. Let's do it. Enough talk, and it's time to throw down, and they want to fight? Let's fight them. There's only one way to deal with a bully, and there's only ever one way, and we've been passively kicking the can since Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, and no more.
Afraid.
Time to punch them in their big, fat, freaking stupid hillbilly noses. And that's
agreed.
What my whole blog's all about.
Agreed. We're going to have to give you your own hour on here, your own 2 hours.
Well, my entire genre, my entire vlog, everything, it's all about going back to being a strong progressive, like Harry Truman, like Bobby Kennedy, like Give 'em Hell, freaking Harry, like freaking FDR. We lost track for 4 years, and we took the soft approach, and the bullies freaking... did their number on us. Don't kid yourself.
It's time to turn it around. Besides, it's an evolutionary cycle. We're going to do it their way.
Yes.
Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I love all you guys who, you know, did all the prayers and all everything. Thank you so, so much. You mean everything to me, all of you.
We're out of time. Come back often, please. Good health. Good vibes. Thanks so much, darling.
Okay.
And that's the show for today. Tune in Sunday for the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and I. This week, I think we're on there discussing together. Okay. That's it. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.